Blog Talk Radio.
I sit back and these days remember my ways. Oh, will I get out of my cage? Yes, I am a slave, searching for some freedom, searching for some freedom. So I'm tender, sing them some spark memory. What is a man with no history? Where am I? Who am I? What is this place? We're just sitting in space.
Father, for those who Look forward to having blessings in their life, Father, that they should look forward to this day each and every week, Father, because it's a blessing. Thank you, because you blessed them in your word, Father. We thank you for that. Father, I ask and pray that all during this time of trouble in this world is taking hold of you, Father, getting closer with you and getting a better relationship with you, better understanding your word, Father, and more importantly, better understanding your will, Father, your will for their life, Father, for each and every one of our lives, who we have called and who we have set apart, Father, who you have given a charge in this world, Father, and that is each and every Israelite and those who take hold of her. In Yahushua's name I pray. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who have sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Shabbat as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. And if I'm not sounding clear, somebody shoot me a text. Briefly, I am. But if I'm not, somebody shoot me a text. I know I'm muffled or something. It's been a great journey, though, family. It's been a great journey. I pray everybody is sitting back and enjoying the time alone that they have with Abba during this quarantine, during this pandemic, as the world will call it. But we know Israel. We look at it as it's a normal occurrence in the life of an Israelite. Should be. Should be a normal occurrence in the life of an Israelite, because we, throughout the word, as Abba gave one of his sons, Deuel, a lesson on being quarantined. You know, and if you look back throughout the word, we have been quarantined. We should have been quarantined. We were supposed to be quarantined. We were supposed to be set apart from the rest of the world, because trouble times are coming, and we need that extra. We need that extra time with Abba. We need that reassurance with Abba. We need to get rid of doubt. We need to get rid of doubt. You know, and I thank the Most High, because he always reassures us. He always reassures us. He always let us know that I have you throughout this word. And one of the reasons why I believe he gave me this lesson is to encourage Israel, you know, to encourage the body of Mashiach, the body of Yahushua, the Messiah, to encourage us in these times to don't let go. Don't look to the left or to the right, but look up, look around, look within, and he's right there. He's right there. So that's one of the reasons to know that, first and foremost, we have a job to do. We always have a job to do as long as we Israel. We have a job to do, period. I don't care what state that you're in or where you think you're at in your walk. You have a job to do for the Most High Yah. And some of the things we're going to talk about tonight may be hard to hear. May be hard to hear. And, you know, for me, it was, and like, okay, you sure? Yep. Gave me a dream. I'm thanking the brothers and sisters for shooting out them texts. I believe it started with RRL, because I was knocked out. Got home about 2:30. Was able to put the finishing touches on the lesson that the Most High gave me, and put it together. And I was. Went to sleep about 5. I laid down on the couch and, whoo, I was in a good sleep. And all I can remember is before our texts started going off, I was dreaming. And in the dream, he was reassuring me, because before I went to sleep, I was meditating on what was supposed to come out tonight. And I'm going to talk about Yahoo Shore tonight. I'm not even going to tell y'all the dream, but it was a good dream, one that reassured me. We're going to talk about Yahoo Shore because we have been talking about Yahweh's mighty men and also his mighty women. Prayerfully, we don't have to say that every time because y'all know when we talk about Yahweh's mighty men, we also talk about his mighty women. There was both within the scriptures. Prayerfully, I can get through this and just want to read because we can't talk about mighty men without talking about Yahushua. We can't. There's no way in the world we can talk about a Dawid, a David. We can talk about a Judah Maccabees without talking about Yahushua. Without talking about Yahushua. And then we're going to talk about a side of Yahushua that many people don't want to talk about. Many people, and meditating before I get into it, because I don't really want to talk about it just yet. We're going to read, I'll open the scriptures. Let me just start reading and sharing the word of Yahweh. Always, we're going to, this has been our mantra, our stand, all six installments of the culture of Yahweh's mighty men is Ephesians 6, 10 through 13, chapter 6, 10 through 13. Finally, be strong in Yahweh and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of Yah, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world's rulers of darkness of this age, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, put on the whole armor of Yah, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Amen. Amen. And that is more so our giving us a commandment to put this thing on. Hey, it's not like a suggestion. It's like a father telling his son, it's cold outside, put an extra coat, put the heavy coat on, put that little coat on. That little coat, that windbreaker, the wind can run right through it. Put your heavy coat on because it's cold. Put your gloves, your hat, your scarf on, you know. You know how our mothers used to do with kids, especially if you here in Baltimore, they slap you now with a whole thing of Vaseline across your face. So that right there will protect your face. You know, my mom did. She did why I love Vaseline today and use it more than anything else to moisturize. But she would take a thing of Vaseline and hit it off face with it. Gloves, hat, scarf, Under Armour, long johns on. We was going out there like we was ready for war. We was able to withstand the cold when we went outside. So the same mindset that our parents had is the exact same thing, or they get it from Abba Yah. They get it from him, from the Most High. Put on that because it's very cold outside. And this is the type of cold that can penetrate the clothing that you have on, the layer that you have on. So put on everything. No difference, man. No difference. So it's more so of a commandment. And Yahweh gave another one of his sons, Brother Yariel, an awesome lesson in that. You know, and all these lessons we have in the archives that people are able to go back and listen. You're able to go back and to listen to these lessons over and over again. And sometimes you may not get the lesson that Yahweh gave one of the brothers, one of his sons. So go back in the archives and listen to it again. Go back. Because sometimes we get distracted and the Satan distracts us and we trying to listen, but something else come up and we may miss something. And if that one thing we may miss the whole lesson. So we are able to go into the archives and we're able to pull out these different lessons. They're there. They're there. And especially while we have all this free time, go back and hear the whole point that Abba gave his son. The whole point. The whole point. I remember, that's the way Abba taught me. Because all I used to do was listen to Rabbi Gershon Lindanger. Every day I used to listen to every tape. If he had a tape, it was tape that Shabbat. I would listen to it all that week. All that week. And Abba was able to teach me by just listening to his word over and over. Over and over. Repetition. Same thing. Go back into the archives. You may miss something. If you haven't, that's great. That's beautiful. But if you have, you didn't understand something, go back and listen to something. Write things down. Take notes. I have two other thoughts that Yah was giving me before I get into it. As a matter of fact, I just want to start reading. And we're going into Yochanan, 1 John 2:6. That's 1 John 2:6. But we're going to start at 2:5. Matter of fact, we can start at 2:4. 1 Chronicles 2:4. One who says, I know him, and doesn't keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth isn't in him. But whoever keeps his word, Yah's love has most certainly been perfected in him. This is how we know that we are in him. He who says he remains in him ought himself also to walk just like he walked. That was a thought. He who says he remains in him ought himself also to walk just like he walked. Amen. We have one more, and then we're going into Matityahu, Matthew 16:24. Then Yahushua said to his Talmudim, to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his tree and follow me. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his tree and follow me. We ought to do and walk the exact same way Yahushua did. In other words, Brother Shaul, one another our brothers, Shaul said, let this mind be in me, the same mind of Mashiach. Let it be in me, the mind of Messiah. However he thought, whatever Ruach that was upon him, we know that the Ruach in mind is synonymous. This is the same thing Shaul said. Let this mind be in me. The mind of Mashiach, let that be in us. Let us have the exact same will, the exact same thinking, the exact same movement in this world as the Messiah had. As the Messiah had. Let's go and see and read some things and we just came out of this season right here, though. We just came out of the Pesach season, the Passover season, where Yahushua demonstrated the greatest love that was ever demonstrated in this world we live in. This is the greatest love that was ever demonstrated in this world that we live in. So that means we ought to be demonstrating the greatness of this love. Because we just read two scriptures that hinted or told us to be exactly like him. To be exactly like him, to demonstrate such a love, such a selfless love for mankind, first and foremost, and for one another. For one another. For one another. So let's go to John. And that is the Gospel of John, the Gospel of your comment, starting in 18. Chapter 18, 1 through 11. And another thing, as we did with all the other brothers, characteristics, traits that was poured out about these brothers. And one thing, and sisters, that we have found out that throughout, one of the main traits, one of the main characteristics of these brothers and sisters, that they were willing to lay their lives down. They were willing to lay their lives down for Yah. It was no hesitation. They were willing to lay their lives down. When Yahushua had spoken these words, he went out with his Talmudim, his disciples, over the brook of Kidron, where there was a garden into which he and his disciples entered. Now, Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Yahushua often met there with his disciples. When then, having taken a detachment of soldiers and officers, and the Pharisees came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Yahushua, therefore, knowing all the things that were happening to him, went out and said to them, "Who are you looking for? Who are you looking for?" They answered him, "Yahushua of Nazareth." Yahushua said to them, "I am he." Judas also, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When therefore he said to them, "I am he," they went backward and fell to the ground. Again, family, as we always do here, always allow the Ruach to take you to that scene. Allow the Ruach to take you to that scene, because we're talking about characteristics, traits, attributes of Yahushua. And at this moment, we know the whole situation. For those who may not know, this is when the officers, they about to lock Yahushua up. But what we just read, so again, when therefore he said to them, "I am he," they went backward and fell down to the ground. The power of just the words that he said, "I am he," they fell. It knocked them down. It knocked them down. Whoever it was coming to get Yahushua, just for him speaking. And I like to think that he was just demonstrating what he could do. Just speaking fell backwards. They went backwards. I like to demonstrate, and that's power right there. Just words knocked them down. "I am he." And again, therefore, he asked them, "Who are you looking for?" Because at this time, they don't know what's going on. What happened? They all fell down. What in the world just happened? All this brother spoke was, "I am he," and we all fell down. So they sitting there like, "Hey, what we supposed to do?" So he had to ask them again. Again, therefore, he asked them, "Who are you looking for?" And they said, "Yahushua of Nazareth." And Yahushua answered, "I told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that the word might be fulfilled which he spoke. Of those whom you have given me, I have lost none." Simon Peter, therefore, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. And there, Yahushua, therefore, said to Kepha, or Peter, "Put sword into its sheath. The cup which the Father has given me, shall I not surely drink of it? Shall I not surely drink of it?" And again, we're talking about Yahushua, his characteristics, and why he is the number one mighty man. And why we cannot talk about mighty men without talking about Yahushua HaMashiach. Put up your swords, Kiefer. And I like how Brother Matityahu brings it out. And Brother Matityahu and Brother Matthew, when he brings out the scene right here, he brings out, because he tells Kepha or Brother Peter, look, don't you know that I can call down a legion angels if I want? See, the power that's being demonstrated that most people cannot fathom. The power in humility at the exact same time that's being demonstrated to us. He demonstrated to them when he just spoke to them and they fell down who he was, the power that he had. He spoke to these men and they fell down. The power that he's demonstrating, the example that he's leaving us, because you imagine if you is the commander in chief of the United States Army, which is the greatest military on the face of the planet. And the biggest bully came to you and knocked you out, knocked you silly. And you have all Navy SEALs, all Green Berets, all Army Rangers at your beck and calling. And he just knocked you down. And you have the power to say, get him, and they will tear him a new one. But you don't do it. Which is greater? Which is greater? The power to hurt or the power not to hurt? When you have the authority, first and foremost, and the power to do it. The power not to hurt. That's a demonstration of power and humility all in one. So what do we learn as believers from this one scene right here, or one of the characters of Yahushua that he was showing us? So we get into little scuffles and disagreements with one another, and we want to lash out with the tongue. We want to lash out against one another because you don't do that to me. But if Yahushua lives in us, we have that exact same power. We have the exact same thing of humility. We're able, as Brother James said it, Brother Yaconis said it, we're able to control this tongue, the smallest member of our body. Power that he displayed. No greater power again, family. No greater power. Let me move on to Matityahu. Now we're going to Matityahu. He's going to give some more of the story we just read, but from the point of view that Abba gave him, that he saw. We're going to Matityahu or Matthew 27. Matthew 27, 24 through 50, family. Starting at verse 24, going down to 50. Again, we just came out of a season of the greatest demonstration of love. Greatest demonstration of love. So when Pilate saw that nothing was being gained, but rather that a disturbance was starting, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this righteous person. You see to it. All the people answered, may his blood be on us and on our children. And every time I read that, I cringe. I cringe every time. Looking down the pipe of place, after this, when the Romans came through and all the other atrocities that Israel been through, all of that is because, is one of the reasons, is because of this statement right here. We didn't know what we said when we said this as a nation. All the people answered, may his blood be on us and on our children. We've been praying for that statement for a very long time. That one statement right there, we have been praying for that for a very long time. Because the blood that we said let be on us, it has been blood on our heads. We pay in that. We have been paying that in full. Then he released to them Barabbas, but Yahushua he flogged and delivered to be crucified. Then the governor's soldiers took Yahushua into Praetorium and gathered the whole garrison together against him. They stripped him, put a scarlet robe on him. They braided a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they kneeled down before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, the King of the Yahudis, the King of the Jews." They spat on him. They took the reed and struck him on the head. When they had mocked him off him and put his clothes on him and led him away to crucify him, as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Shimon by the name. And they compelled him to go with them that he might carry his tree. When they came to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, that they gave him sour wine to drink, mixed with gall. When he had tasted it, he would not drink. When they had crucified him, they delivered his clothing. They divided his clothing among them, casting lots. And they sat and watched him there. They set up over his head the accusation against him, written, "This is Yahushua, the Melech of the Yahudis, the King of the Jews." Then there were two robbers crucified with him, one on the right hand and then one on the left hand. Those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "Who, you who destroyed the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself, if you are the son of Yah, and come down from the tree." Likewise, the chief priests also mocking with the scribes, the Pharisees, and the elders said, "He saved others, but he can't save himself. If he is the King of Israel, let him come down from the tree now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in Yah. Let Yah deliver him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the son of Yah.'" The robbers also who were crucified with him cast on him the same reproach. Now the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. About the ninth hour, Yahushua cried with a loud voice, said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, "My El, my El, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of them who stood there, when they heard it, said, "This man is calling Eliyahu." Immediately, one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put on a reed and gave him a drink. The rest said, Let him be. Let's see whether Eliyahu comes to save him." Yahushua cried again with a loud voice and yielded up the spirit. Again, the greatest act of love that was ever demonstrated on the face of the planet is this act right here. Is this act And one of the reasons why Abba tells us to rehearse it, he tells us to guard it every year. Rehearse it every year. Go over it every year. Never forget the love that I have for you. Never, Israel, world, forget how much I love you. I love you, Yisra'el. I died for you, Yisra'el. I took a beating. If we go into the book of Yeshayahu, which is Isaiah 53, and we read it, and it talks about the beating that he took for us. The beating, and we know we all who watched The Passion of Mashiach by Mel Gibson, and no understand when today, when I watch it, I cringe. When I watch it, I turn away because I'm there. I'm with it. I see the whole act. But if we go into the scriptures, the scripture says they beat him so bad that he wasn't even, his visage wasn't even, he wasn't able to recognize him. And then that's a beating. Flesh ripped from him, pulled from him so much, so bad that he wasn't able, those that was around him, that he wasn't able to recognize how much flesh they pulled off of him, how bad they beat him. And every time you just sink within your spirit when you hear about that, and you be humble, and you ask for forgiveness any time that you step out of line, because he did that for me, he did that for you. He showed how much he loved us. He showed how much he loved us. In that very act, so we can have a way to the Father. We can, the gates can now be open. All we have to do is choose to walk through it. Choose to endure a little thing. A little thing. And we know that we can close the book, because that was the greatest act of man, the greatest act of love man have ever known, right there. Right there. And we as Talmudim, we as his body, we as the assembly, we as whatever you want to call yourself as a believer, should be living the exact same way that he gave us, the example that he left for us. We should be denying ourselves. We should be loving one another. If we want to be first, we should be thinking ourselves last. We should be thinking like that. Because this is Yahushua HaMashiach, the suffering lamb, the one that was promised, the one that was told before the foundation of the world, that Brother Yochanan said, this is him, Yahushua HaMashiach, the suffering lamb. That's him. That's who he is. That was promised to Israel. That was go back and promised to Adam. He was promised to him first. He had to shed his blood for us. He had to know such humility so we can walk in humility. We can walk in Ahava, the love. The love of Yah, can know how to love one another. We can know how to endure one another, to be patient with one another, to have compassion towards one another. This is who Yahushua is, the greatest and most mightiest men of Yah. There is none better. There is none better. That's who he is. That's who, every time I think about that story, I get this lump inside my throat, this heaviness, because if I ever stepped out of line when I hear that, because I wholeheartedly believe it, I feel bad. I feel bad when I'm not doing right. I feel bad, and it brings me right back. And what it should do that to us, it should have us repenting. It should do that. We should have a sorrowful heart. But there is also a contrast to who Yahushua is too. He is loving. He is loving. And then we're going to throw out some thoughts, something just to think about right now before we get into the rest of the lesson. Because we ain't over. We're not over. Why would Yahweh say, I'm a man of war? Just something for you to think about, for those who are listening. Because in his word, he said, I am a man of war. What thoughts is he giving to the reader and to those who are Bible students? What thought is he giving us? You know, I mean, what comes to mind when you hear that Yahweh say, I am a man of war? And when he talks about us being down in Mitzrayim, down in Egypt, when we go back into the book of Exodus before he pours out, he called us a great host. When you look up that word, he said a great army before he gave us his word at Sinai. While we was down in Mitzrayim, Egypt, he said we was a great host, a great army. Why do you need an army? What you need an army for? We know. I'm not understanding these just thoughts, questions. Maybe you not your mind is not trying to your mind is not asking the question. So we are gonna ask these rhetorical questions that you really shouldn't answer, but only within yourself. Here's another question. Here's another thought that we can get out of the word of Yahweh. Why he tell Brother Shaul, this all-loving mighty, we talking about Melech Shaul, King Shaul, the first king of Israel. When you go and conquer, or when you go and fight against this nation, kill everything. Kill everything. I mean everything, all the way down to the animals. Male, female, old, young, child, everything. Dog, the cat. They got a gerbil. Kill a gerbil too. Everything. Now, miners, they got to be some very, very evil people. Whatever was those dealing with these people, they were evil. They were evil. They were evil. For Abba to say, kill every single thing. Everything. Animals was moving upon these people. For Abba to even say, kill the animal. What the animals got to do with it? He said, kill everything when you go in there. Nothing. So when in my meditation and thinking about that, when talking to Abba and understanding what he have done for us and knowing that I'm not going to ask you to do nothing that I won't do. That came to my mind because he actually Shaul to go kill everything, and we know and understand that Yahushua is love. He's a harbor. He laid down his life for mankind, but he's asking him to kill everything. Man of war. And he would not. So that means within you, Yahushua, Yahweh, that you have the ability to kill everything. Because we know that those who read the word, he said he's coming. which they swore the next time, came as a suffering lamb. So think about it. And Brother Daniel talked about it a couple of weeks ago. I don't even know. And I just smiled when I heard it because in my mind, I was taking me somewhere else and how he was talking about, I believe it was Mikael felt when he had to put his brothers in this such a place. I believe the last time he read in the book of Enoch, he was talking about Mikael and how it grieved Mikael or Michael to have to do that to his brothers. And where Abba have took my mind in it, you know, because we as his creation and his servant, and sometimes when we have something to do, it grieves us what Abba tells us. You know, and that's the compassionate side of Abba that comes out of us. There's nothing really wrong with that. But then there is a side of Abba that he means business, and he has Malachim that will not pity the old, the young, the grandmother, the great grandmother. That Malachim that led Israel out by cloud by day, fire by day, and a cloud of pillar by night, I believe. He said, do not disobey this Malachim, because he will not take pity on you. He will kill you, period. I would ask Brother Shaul to kill everything. Yahusha asked Shaul to kill everything. Every single thing. If you got a pet hamster, this nation. Because there are some nations that he said kill all the men and save the women and children. Maybe some of them can be redeemed. But all men that went out to war against him, he said, kill everything. Every single thing. There's a scripture in, I believe, 15th chapter of 2nd Ezra. I believe it's around 15, 36, 39. And it talks about this, the cloud that's coming. And out of the cloud, there's a star. And he's riding on his horse. He said, the blood that was came up to the horse's waist. That's war right there. The thing is, how many of us see Yahushua like that? But we're going to read some things, and we're going to read, and we will understand, hopefully, why he has to be like that. Just take it yourself, and let's look at situations of today. How people are rising up right now because they got to stay in the house. Tennessee somewhere, Texas somewhere, they got armed with bulletproof vests, AK-47, marched down the city hall because they got to stay in the house. Several states then had uprisings. Several states then had people protesting in the front of City Hall because they got to stay in the house. What you think they're going to feel like when Yahushua come back and say, you got to live a Torah life? They're going to automatically just jump on and say, I'm going to live a Torah life. To not being able to eat my crabs and my pork, my strips and all this. I'm going to give that up. Yahushua sure will say, kill everything. Kill everything. Man can't even follow simple directions now for yourself. Look at the world and how people are rebelling, fucking up against. That's supposed to be in the best interest of them. What you think they're going to feel do when Yahushua comes back? How evil the world is right now. How evil it is right now. It's evil. We live in a very demonic-filled place. And we're going to read a little bit more about the characteristics, the attributes of Yahushua. So we're going to dig back into the book of the Apocrypha. We're going to go to the book of wisdom. For those who had it, if you don't have it, I'm going to read it for you. The book of wisdom, 18, chapter 18, verses 15 and 16. And these are of Yahushua. Just listen. I'm not going to try to dig into, especially when we get into the book of Ezra, I'm not going to break down nothing. Prayfully and hopefully, I just read. Just want you to hear some things. Hear this thing. And in the book of wisdom, I will have to do this. I have to give those who don't know the background. This is when, again, this is the exact same thing, the time that we have just came out of. This is the time of the first Passover that happened down in Mitzrayim, Egypt. If you got a chance, start in the book of, start in chapter 17 and come on up to 18, because it explains the Pesach from the Egyptians' point of view, from what was happening to them, some of the things that the Torah might not get into. But this is when Abba was giving out his plagues, and I believe this was the plague of darkness at this time. But in the Torah, in Exodus, it talks about how Abba fought against the God of Egypt. And this is where we're at now, because this explains something. Explains, hold up, why don't you fight against the wood and stone? No, he's not. He's actually going fighting and tearing up these Malachim, which we know that the scripture says that the Gentiles worship demons unrenounced to themselves, and that's what Yahushua is going to fight in this instance. Your all-powerful word leaked. We know and understand that he is the word. Yahushua is the word. John 1:1. Your all-powerful word leaped from heaven, out of the royal throne, a stern warrior. A stern warrior into the midst of the doomed land. It's going to happen again. Bearing as a sharp sword your unfringed commandment, and standing, it filled all things with death. And while it touched the heaven, it trod upon earth. Man, that was sure kind of big sword. You kind of big sword. Just keep that in mind. I'm going to read it again. Your all-powerful word leaped from heaven, out of the royal throne, stern warrior, into the midst of the doomed land. What did he say? What did Yahushua say? I came to bring a sword. I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. Bearing a sharp sword, your unfriend commandment, and standing, it filled all things with death. And while it touched the heaven, it trod upon the earth. Keep that in mind, fam. Keep that in mind. What in mind when we talk about Yahweh say he's a man of war? Why would Yahweh have Rabbi Shaul, King Shaul, to kill everything? So let's go to 2 Ezra, and we got two chapters to read. We're going to read a chapter and a half, starting at 11. And in this, if you're a Bible student, your mind going to run rampant, because you're going to hear things that's going to connect to the book of Daniel, that's going to connect to the book of Revelation, that's even going to tell us the times that we're in today, that's going to talk about the four beasts, open up some things to us. And I pray that I could just read it, and in your spare time, that Abba takes you back, Lord, and take you and give you the understanding and open your mind up to it. But the thing we're looking at is who and why Yahushua got to come back with a sword. Why do he have to switch from the suffering lamb to a conquering king? Both. We both of them. And another thing Israel did not understand about who the Messiah was going to be. That trips up a lot of them. And it came to pass the second night that I saw a dream, and behold, there came up from the sea an eagle which had 12 feathers, feathered wings, and 3 heads. And I saw, and behold, she spread her wings over all the earth. Excuse me, sir. As I saw, and behold, she spread her wings over all the earth, and all the winds of heaven blew on her, and the clouds were gathered together against her. And I saw, and out of her wings there grew other wings near them, and there they became little wings and small. But her heads were at rest, and the head in the midst were greater than the other head, yet rested it with them. Moreover, I saw, and behold, the eagle flew with her wings to reign over the earth and over those who dwell therein. And I saw how all things under heaven were subject to her, and no man spoke against her, no one creature upon the earth. And I saw, and behold, the eagle rose up with her talons and uttered her voice to her wings, saying, watch not at all once. Sleep every one in his own place, and watch my course. But let the heads be preserved for the last. And I saw, and behold, the voice went not out of her head, but from the midst of her body. And I counted her wings that were near, and behold, there were 8 of them. And I saw, and behold, on the right side, there arose one wing and reigned over all the earth. And so it was that when it rained, the end of it came, and it appeared not, so that the place thereof appeared no more. And the next following rose up and reigned, and it there ruled a great time. And it happened that it rained, and the end of it came also, that it appeared no more, like as the first. And behold, there came a voice to it and said, hear you that have borne rule over the earth all this time. This I proclaim to you before you shall appear no more. There shall none after you attain to your time, neither to the half thereof. Then arose the third and had the rule as the others behold before, and it also appeared no more. So it went with all the wings one after another, as that every one bear rule and then appeared no more. And I saw, and behold, in process of time, the wings that followed were set up upon the right side, that they might rule also. And some of them ruled, but within a while they appeared no more. Some also of them were set up, but ruled not. After this I saw, and behold, the 12 wings appeared no more, and nor 2 of the little ones. And there was no more left upon the eagle's body, but 3 heads that rested and 6 little wings. And I saw, behold, 2 little wings divided themselves and remained under the head that was upon the right side, but 4 remained in their place. And I saw, and behold, these underwings thought to set up themselves and to have the rule. And I saw, and behold, there was one set up, but within a while it appeared no more. a second also, and it was sooner away than the first. And I saw, and behold, the two that remained thought also themselves to reign. And while they thought, behold, there awakened one of the heads that were at rest, namely that it was in the midst, for that was greater than the two other heads. And I saw how it joined the two other heads with it. And behold, the head was turned with those who were with it, and did eat up the two under the wings that thought to have reigned, But this head held the whole earth in possession and bare rule over those that dwell within with much oppression, and it had the government of the world more than the wings that had been. And after this I saw and beheld, as the head also that was in the midst suddenly appeared no more like as the wings, but there remained the two heads, which also is short, like to short reign over the earth and over those that dwell in. And I saw, and behold, the head upon the right side devoured it that was upon the left side. Then I heard a voice which said to me before you, and consider the thing that you see. And I saw, and behold, as it were a lion roused out of the wood, roaring. And I heard how he sent out a man's voice to the eagle, and spoke, saying, hear you, I will talk with you, and the Most High will say to you, are not you it that remain of the four beasts whom I made to reign in the world, that the end of my time might come through me, through them? And the four came over and overcame all the beasts that was passed, and held the world in government with great trembling, and the whole compass of the earth, with grievance, oppression, and so long time lived he upon the earth with deceit. And you have judged the earth, but not with truth. You have afflicted the meek. You have hurt the peaceful. You have hated those who spoke truth. You have loved liars and destroyed the dwelling of those who brought forth truth, and cast down the wall of such as did you no harm. Insolent dealing come upon the Most High, and your pride to the mighty. The Most High also has looked upon his time, and behold, they are ended, and his aid are fulfilled. And therefore appear no more, you eagle, nor you horrible wings, nor you evil little wings, nor you cruel head, nor you hurtful talents, nor all your vain body, that all the earth may be refreshed and be eased, being delivered from your violence, and that she may help, she may hope for the judgment of him that made her. Amen. And thank you, Abba, for keeping me. It was hard not to talk. But hopefully, when y'all get a chance, go back and read it again. Go back and read this right here again, because I'm quite sure y'all heard some things. Quite sure. And if you have questions, put questions, send questions out, where we can deal with them. But I'm moving on to 2 Ezra 12:1. And the reason why Abba told me to be quiet, because he's going to explain a lot of this. He's going to explain a lot what we just heard. While the lion spoke these words to the eagle, I saw, and behold, the head that remained appears no more, and the two wings which went over it arose and set themselves up to reign, and their kingdom was small and full of uproar. And I saw, and behold, they appeared no more, and the whole body of the eagle was burnt, so that the earth was in great fear. Then awakened I by reason of great ecstasy of mind and from great fear, and said to my spirit, Behold, this have you done to me, in that you search out the ways of the Most High? Behold, I am yet worried in my mind, and very weak in my spirit, nor is there the least strength in me, for the great fear wherewith I was affrighted this night. Therefore I will now beseech the Most High that he will strengthen me to the end. And I said, O Yahweh, the bare rule, if I have found favor in your sight, and if I am justified with you above many others, and if my prayer indeed become up before your face, strengthen me. Strengthen me then, and show me your service the interpretation and plain meaning of the fearful vision, that you may peacefully comfort my soul. Amen. For you have judged me worthy to show me the end of time and the last time. Again, we're in the book of Enoch. Not from this note any old reason. Let me read that again. For you have judged me worthy to show me the end of time and the last times. And he said to me, is the interpretation of the vision which you saw. The eagle whom you saw came up from the sea is the fourth kingdom which appeared in the vision of your brother Daniel Allah. Do we know how important just this one verse is? This one verse, and because it, for me, it shows that Abba has been dealing with the past prophets, the past Kohanim, the same way he deals with his prophets and Kohanim today. He gives us understanding of his word. He's giving him understanding of Daniel's word. He's opening his mind. Hey, remember what I gave Daniel out? Yes. Now, let me connect what I gave Daniel. I'm just going to build on what I gave Daniel with you. So he's given this brother Ezra revelation. No different than the day. He builds on his word with his people, with his Kohanim, with his prophets. He builds on the word that he has already given his people with revelation. When we read in something and the Kohanim may say something that may sound off the wall, that may sound like, oh, where that come from? He's building. He's giving revelation. His word. No different. Let me read it again for y'all. That's okay. 11. The eagle whom you saw came up from the sea is the fourth kingdom. Who? Daniel. He gave it to Daniel. In the vision to your brother Daniel L. Building. He's given revelation off his word. His word. He's explaining it. Amen. Amen. It's his word. It's his ruach. But it was not expounded to him. What? But it's expounded to you. I'm giving you the revelation. I'm bringing you a little further than what I gave Daniel. You, Ezra, gave him this, but I'm giving you more. I'm laying. I gave him a foundation. Now I'm building on it with you. But it was not expounded to him, as I now expounded to you, founded it. Now I'm giving you a revelation, what I gave Daniel. Oh, people. Abba Yah have been doing that with us for years. I pray we all see that. He's been doing that with us for years. He's been given revelation with us off his word for years. He has been building. He has been expounding. Behold, the days come that there shall rise up a kingdom upon earth, and it shall be feared above all the kingdoms that were before it. In the same shall 12 kings reign, one another after another. Whereof the second shall begin to reign, and shall have a longer time than any of the 12. This is the interpretation of the 12 wings which you saw. And whereas you heard a voice which spoke, not going out from the head, but from the midst of the body thereof. This is the interpretation that after the time of the kingdom, there shall arise no small contention, and it shall stand in peril of falling. Nevertheless, it shall not then fall, but shall be restored again to its first estate. Think about Revelation now. Let Abba build, let Abba take your ruach and take it through his word. As whereas you saw the eight on the wings sticking to her wings. This is the interpretation that in it there shall arise eight kings whose time shall be but small and their years swift. And two of them, four, shall be kept for a while until the time the ending thereof shall approach, but two shall be kept to the end. And whereas you saw three heads resting, this is the interpretation. In the last days thereof shall the Most High rise up three kingdoms and renew many things therein, and they shall bear rule over the earth and over those that dwell therein with much oppression above all those that were before them. And therefore are they called the heads of eagles. What these three eagles could be. What's these three eagles, fam? For these are those who shall accomplish her wickedness and that shall finish her last end. And whereas you saw that the great head appeared no more, it signifies that one of them shall die upon his bed, yet with pain. But for the two that remain, the sword shall devour them. The sword of the one shall devour him that was with him, but he also shall fall by the sword in the last day. And whereas you saw two under wings passing over the head that is on the right side, this is the interpretation. These are they whom the Most High have kept to his end. This is the small kingdom and full of trouble as yet you saw. And the lion whom you saw rising up out of the wood and roaring and speaking to the eagle and rebuking her for her unrighteousness and all her words which you have heard. This is the anointed one whom the Most High has kept to the end of days, who shall spring up out of the seed of David, and he shall come and speak to them and reprove them for their wickedness and unrighteousness, and shall heap up before them their contemptuous dealing. For at them alive in his judgment, and when he hath reproved them, he shall destroy them. This is the final judgment. This is Yahushua. Yahushua is the lion. Why we ask, why Yahushua need a sword? Why that sword going to reach from the heavens to the and trod upon the earth? Because there's much wickedness. Wickedness has been running in this world. He allowed it. Read it in part one. He allowed it in the 2nd Ezra 11. He allowed it. He will allow it because the ultimate battle against Hasatan, because he said out of his mouth, I'm going to raise my throne over you. Yahweh first. we just read it. I'm allowed that judgment. He's going to be alive to the end. I'm going to conquer everything else, and he's going to be the last one. He's going to see that he has no authority. He has no power. Deceived. Allow. He was deceived in his thinking that he could be better than Yahweh, bigger than Yahweh. Scripture says that. He said, unrighteousness or sin or iniquity was found in him. So why Yahweh needs a sword to touch from the kingdom to here? Why he's coming with a sword? First, before those who Hallel in Book of Revelation, he gave his power to, and who have been ruling this earth with unrighteousness and oppressing his people. That's why he's coming back. That's why he can tell Shaul to do this thing, because when I come back, I'm going to do this thing. I finally get rid of this evil. I'm going to kill everything not like me, that have not accepted me. Does not matter how close they are to us. Best thing we can do is tell them what he tells us to tell them. Because when it's all said and done, that's what's going to happen. That's word. 32 again. This is the anointed one whom the Most High has kept to the end of days, who shall spring up out of the seed of David, and he shall come and speak to them and reprove them for their wickedness and unrighteousness, and shall heap up before them their contemptuous daily. For at the first he shall set them alive in his judgment, and when he has reproved them, he shall destroy them. For the rest of my people, shall he deliver with mercy those that have been preserved throughout my borders, and he shall make them joyful until the coming of the end, even the day of judgment, whereof I have spoken to you from the beginning. Amen. 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 One more verse, family. One more verse. And this will be the end of Hebrew culture for 6 weeks, the end of Yahweh's mighty men. And Brother Yahweh will be starting next week, Yah willing, and bringing you, can it be that simple? Can it be that simple? So let's go to Daniel and finish with Daniel, chapter 7, 13 and 14. I believe it's 13 and 14. Let me start at verse 9. Start at verse 9, family. And I watched until the thrones were placed, and one who sat, who was Ancient of Days, sat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flame, and its wheels burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came out from before him. Thousands and thousands ministered to him. 10,000 and 10,000 therefore stood before him. The judgment was set. The books were opened. I watched at that time because of the voice of the great words which the horn spoke. I watched even until the animals were slain and its body destroyed, and it was given to be burned with fire. For the rest of the animals, their dominion was taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And they saw in the night vision, and behold, there came with the clouds of the sky one like a son of man, and he came even to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Dominion was given him, and glory, and a kingdom that all the people, nations, language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away, and his kingdom that will not be destroyed. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to thank Abba Yah for giving me this lesson, family. We pray that all those who heard it be encouraged, because the battle was won. It's won already. Just stay with God. Stay within His guidelines. That's all we got to do. We just got to try and stay on point. He said He's showing mercy to thousands of those who keep His commandments. He knows we're going to fall to the left and to the right, but He's going to give us mercy because we strive to keep His commandments. And then we have to come to a full understanding of His word. We have to come to maturity of His word, where though we be like our king, King Dawid, Dawushua, we be like all the mighty men, all the mighty women that we have read about within these 6 weeks, where we were able to lay down our lives, as our sister Judith was able to cut off the enemy's head, literally cut off the enemy's head. Wow, think about these stories that Abba has given us, and how he has given Israel salvation throughout time, how Dawid was able to kill, how Shimshon was able to kill the Philistines with a jawbone, 1,000 of them. 1,000. How when Eliyahu told and went up against the prophets of Baal, the prophets of Asherah, 450 each, 450 of each of them, 900 altogether, and he had them killed. I believe 900 or 850. He had all of them killed. He destroyed the thing that was coming against Yahweh's word. He destroyed that. Yahweh told the men when he called them, he said, don't go near your wives. In 3 days, I want y'all to surround this mountain. In other words, he told Israel to guard his word, to guard it, to protect it, to fight for it, to die for it. And Yahushua left us an example in to walk. Yes, he is the suffering lamb, but he also the conquering king. He also know how, as they say today, to throw them hands. He also know how to fight. He said his mighty warrior leaped from the royal throne in the book of Wisdom. Ask Abba, why do you give us these things? Why are these things written in your word? Because we come into a time, yes, we know we wrestle against flesh and blood, but hey, it may be physical at times. It may be physical. I'm praying and hoping it ain't happening in my lifetime, but if it happens, Abba, give us the strength. Give me the strength to do what has to be done. Thank you, family, for listening, and for those who will listen in the future, may Abba give them understanding. May He open up their minds. Let me give the end of blessing. This is the end of blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores His presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with shalom. Hallelujah. Thank you. Questions that have been asked throughout this 6 weeks, throughout tonight's broadcast, and probably most likely tonight's broadcast, may you answer them, Father. May you comfort their hearts, Father. May you give us the strength to do what we need to be done. May you allow us to walk in your Son's spirit, Father. May you give us more of His spirit, Father. So when it comes time to slay, and if we have to do it before the great war, which we know we're in the war, may we have the mercy and compassion to do it, Father. May we never do it out of anger and malice. May our hearts and minds be changed to the heart and mind of your Son, Yahushua HaMashiach. Bestow upon us your humility, Father. Bestow upon us your strength, Father. Bind each and every unclean spirit, Father, that come against us, Father. In fact, Abba Yah, give us the strength to bind each and every unclean spirit to come against us. Let us know if anybody within your assembly, within your nation, Father, or within your assembly, more importantly, Father, or specifically, that Yahweh, Father, that we, as the Kohanim, have the strength and the ability to bind any unclean spirit to bother any of those who you have given to sit under us, Father. Give us that strength, Father, and let them have the humility to call upon us, Father. Have the humility to call upon us, and let none of us be high-minded, Father. Let us all have the humility of your Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, Father. Let us walk in it, Father. Bestow that upon us, Father. Humility. Yahushua, holy and precious name, I pray. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, Yisrael. Shabbat Shalom. Torah.
Royalty. Royalty. Power to the chosen people.
Amen.
Bible in my hand, word inside my heart, and pain before my eyes. Broken people wanting to believe in something, looking for a light, trying to find the truth. But we give them doubt saying we do something we don't. Hurting people saying we do things that we won't. Wolfing sheep's clothing with a cross on his chest. Taking people money promising to be blessed. But power to the chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, royal priesthood. Yeah. Yeah, that you've been called out of the darkness into the marvelous light. Do you know who you are? You know who you are. Let them call you those things if you knew you were a queen. And my brother, would you be out there risking your life for green paper if you knew you had it all already, if you knew you were a king? Well, the best I can offer is to tell you the truth. Mercy changed everything for me and you, but they don't really tell us what we do need to know. 1 Peter 2:6, a blessing for sure. So power to the chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, a royal priesthood. Hey. Say that you were called out of the dark into the marvelous light. Do you know who you are?
Royalty.
Once we weren't the people,
mercy made us the people.
Now we are the people. Chosen people, royal priesthood, hey. Royalty, royalty.
chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, royal priesthood.